We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Acts 13. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, what is the phrase there in the Bible? They what? Sent them away. They sent them away. By the way, that's how you want people to leave a church, okay? After there's been prayer and fasting, and they leave and go into the mission field. That's the best way to send people out of a church. In our text tonight, we have Paul's first missionary journey. This is his launching point, if you will. Prior to this, Jesus had commissioned his disciples in Luke chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 10. And then we have what we call the Great what? Commission. We have the Great Commission. And as Paul and the others left out on their first missionary journey, it's important to remember a couple of things. First of all, not everybody went on this trip. Not everybody went. Did you guys know that not everyone can leave the church and go, because then there'd be nobody here? Is that true? So let me speak to that end for just a minute. I know several of you have said, "Oh, I really hope I get to go." And maybe you've never been on a missions trip. How many of you have never been on a missions trip, but you'd love to go on one? Okay. How many of you have never been on one, but you're going on one? Let's ask that. There you go. See all the blue shirts? There you go. First of all, understand a couple of things tonight. There will always be a need to have people stay behind so that the church remains strong and vibrant. It's very important that we as a church understand that. The church is the launching point. The church is the launching point. It is the preparation center. There has been an immense amount of work that has taken place in order for us to get to this point as a church. And I don't just mean to get this trip to where we are. I mean to get us as a church to where we are, to where we can get this trip to this point to where it is. And then in the last several months to get the team ready to go. And this, God willing, will be the first of many. I know many of you said, "Are we going to do other trips?" Well, the title of the sermon tonight is Seven Reasons Why Every Church Should Have Short-Term Missions Trips and Why You Should Plan to Go on One. So the title should already answer that question. How many of you think we're going to have another missions trip? Yes, the answer is yes, we are. Because the church has to understand that we are their launching point, the preparation center, and the support for those that get sent. C.T. Studd, the great missionary statesman, said it this way: "The light that shines the furthest in the field is the light that is shining brightest at home." It's very difficult for us to send out missionaries, and really, as I talk more tonight through this, churches have to be strong and healthy. One of the anchor points for missionaries on the field is that there are healthy churches back home. And as you're going to see in just a little while as I talk about this, it's all well and good for us to write a check and send it to a missionary, but how disheartening is it for a missionary to come back and find out that a church isn't even doing what they're doing over in the mission field? We have to be shining a light very bright here at home. Secondly, remember this tonight, that not everyone is in a position to be able to go to a foreign field and participate in a missions trip. Here's the reality. Some of you just are not going to do well in a foreign field. How many of you know what I mean by that? There's all kinds of problems for you. There's food issues. Say amen. Some of you think all they eat overseas is worms. You know. And you might eat worms this week. I don't know, but some of you might. I don't know. Some of you are like, "Please, no, Pastor." Some of you can't go for physical reasons. There's just your physical limitations will not allow you to be able to travel. And you know that that is not something that you can do. Some of you cannot go for family reasons or for financial reasons. Some of you can't go for spiritual reasons. Spiritually, you're not ready to make this trip. And we understand that. Some, though, need to understand that some of us do need to stay behind. And as Hudson Taylor once said, have to hold the ropes. When David came back from fighting one of his fiercest battles, there's an interesting passage, and there was a little bit of a division in the camp, and when he got back, there was this argument, and those that had gone into the battle were irritated because David was distributing the spoils of war, and those who had stayed behind were getting a co-equal share in what was taken in the battle, and some of the people started grumbling. Can you believe Christians would grumble? I mean, gosh, who would ever think of that? But I mean, strange things happen, you know, when you're serving the Lord. People complain. It's wild, I know. But they started complaining, and David said, wait a minute, wait a minute. He said, listen. And there's an awesome phrase. He said, those that stayed behind, and there's this really cool phrase. It says, they tarried by the stuff. It means that they stayed back. They guarded the stuff. They watched what was going on. They made sure that home base was protected while those went into battle. And so we understand that principle all the way back, even in the Old Testament. And then what we do see in our text is that while only a few departed, and here's what's key tonight, everyone prayed. If you look in the text, it says when they prayed, when they fasted. They as a church were working together praying. And this is one of the main reasons we're here tonight, is to pray for those that we are sending out on this missions trip. So for the next few minutes, I want us to all be reminded of why we're sending a team on a short-term missions trip. And I want to encourage you now, make plans to go on the next one if at all possible. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm probably never going to get to go. There are folks here who can't go, but let me tell you, there are some folks here who have helped others get to where they're going to go come Friday. They have sacrificed, they have given. And can we just bless them and thank them and just let them know we love you guys and appreciate you doing that. So let me give you seven reasons, all right? You don't have a handout. I know some of you are panicking right now. You don't know what to do. You can find a piece of paper somewhere and write something down if you need to. But number one, you encounter a global God. You encounter a global God. What is so life-changing about a missions trip is that you experience a God who is infinitely bigger than you could ever imagine. Our view of God is often way too generalized and limited. His love is beyond the borders of America. Did you guys know that? He reaches outside the continental United States. His grace reaches to the uttermost parts of the world. And a missions trip opens up your heart and mind to the fact that God is the Lord of the nations, whether we or they recognize that or not. Being in a different culture gives you a greater sense of God's compassion for people, not just Americans. Did you know that God loves other people besides America? Did you guys know that? Did you know that when Jesus comes back, he's not going to come back with an American flag wrapped around him? Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus didn't just die for the West? Somebody say amen, please. You're going to discover this on a mission trip, that there is a global God that loves everybody, and being in a different culture gives you a greater sense of God's compassion for all people. All people. The scripture tells us that when Jesus saw the people, he was moved with, does anybody know the word? Compassion. Compassion. Psalm 86:15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and what? Truth. Truth. A missions trip gives you a greater understanding of a God who is, ready? Everywhere. A God who is everywhere. You also encounter God's family, and it impacts your life. You realize that God loves people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. So number one, you understand that you encounter a global God, but number two, you experience God's extended family. You experience God's extended family. God has a lot of kids. Did you know that? He has a lot of kids, and most of them are not white. Some of you are shocked right now that I said white in the pulpit. And did you know most of them don't live in America either? They don't live in America. You discover as you meet God's extended family that you are going to create bonds with your brothers and sisters in Christ. The same kind of bond that Paul spoke of on his missionary travels in Greece and in Italy and in Asia Minor. And your heart becomes united with people from other nations. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17 talks about how this is all made possible. And in Romans 8 it says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? What does it say? Adoption. Adoption. Notice, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself then bears witness with our spirit that we are the what? The children of God. Notice, this is only the children of God should only be spoken by those that know Abba, Father. Those that know Father God. The children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. The reality is, we are all a part of God's family the same way through Jesus Christ. And you and I, we are not only children. Did you know that? And that you are not God's favorite. I know that's a shock to some of you, okay? And that God has children all over the world, just like us, who have experienced his compassion. Number three, you become more grateful. A missions trip will give you a serious attitude adjustment. I want to warn those of you that are leaving. I want to prepare you by telling you that God is going to mess with your attitude while you are there. He is going to adjust your outlook on things. The first time I came back from my first missions trip, which ironically was to Romania, shortly after Ceausescu had been overthrown, I saw things and experienced things that I could have never imagined. I watched as people stood in line for toilet paper. I watched as people would stand in line, and then the second morning we were there, I got up, and I remember it was brutally cold, and I was looking out of our hotel window, if you could call it a hotel. It really was a diabolical place, but we were staying in this hotel, and I saw all these people, and I remember thinking, I can't imagine getting up, and they would stand in line to get bread. They would stand in line to get milk, and I asked one of the Romanian families there, now they've moved past that, praise God, but I remember asking one of the families, what happens when you get to the line and there is no more? And he looked at me with this face as if to think, you stupid American. I mean, it was like, he said, they run out. You go without, you come back tomorrow. And I thought, we're so spoiled. Missions trips, especially depending on where you go, renews your appreciation for all of the creature comforts that we so often take for granted. I remember the one year we drove into Romania, we took a car that actually had air conditioning in it. And I remember after one of our meetings, the interpreter came up to me and he said, could you start the car and could we all get in it? And I said, there's like 10 of us. He said, we'll fit. I think one of the most humbling things was to realize how wasteful we are. How we throw things away that we think nothing of. And it's our culture, I understand that. It's where we live, I understand that. But we just have no idea how spoiled and pampered we actually are. I distinctly remember, as if it was yesterday, as I was penning this together last week, I remember a dear friend of mine and I were together on this trip, and we were coming back, and there was four people standing around a dumpster. And I told him to stop the car, and when we got close enough to where the headlights were, there was a father holding his son by the ankles, and he was in the dumpster, fishing around for food. And we had some food that had been given to us from the church that we were at. They'd had a dedication that night, and so we had some food that they forced on us, and I said, let's give them this food. And we got out of the car, and the dad pulls out this big stick and starts yelling at us. And I thought, we're going to get beat to death in Romania trying to do a good deed. And I knew enough phrases just to get myself out of trouble. And I told him that we had some food in the car. And I remember the desperate look on their faces as they just mobbed the car and just began to take the food out of the back of the car. And they began to run off down the street yelling. And the father turned around and he looked at me, and I'll never forget his eyes as he just pierced into me and tears were dripping down his face. And in Romanian, he just kept saying, thank you. Thank you. And I went back to my room that night, and I laid on my bed and I cried and I said, that could have been me. That could have been me. Those of you going are going to experience children who have very little and have hardly anything in life. And you will impact them in such wonderful ways that you cannot even begin to imagine. And your heart will be very grateful. I will warn you, though, when you come back, you will be very irritated with little American spoiled children. I will warn you about that. There's nothing like a missions trip to put your problems in perspective. To put your problems in perspective. Number four, you gain new perspective. And this is what a missions trip does. This is one of the reasons why you should go on one. This is one of the reasons why we as a church are having them. This is why, as a pastor, I'm passionate about making sure that we continue to do these, because your perspective changes. For many of us, our perspective is very skewed. We tend to only ever see things from one angle, and that angle is our angle, our side. In our world, we have it all figured out, and we are right all the time. And once we were wrong, but we were mistaken, you see. And a missions trip will give you a whole new perspective. A missions trip reminds you that the American way of ministry is not the only way. It's not the only way. In fact, turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Paul is continuing here on his missionary journeys. And in the previous verses here, and for time's sake, I'm not going to read all of the verses above this, but you can see as he's moving down from Caesarea and into Galatia. And in verse 24, the Bible kind of opens up a window here on this very interesting story. It says in verse 24, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, he came to Ephesus." So here this man comes on this mission trip. He comes here, he gets to Ephesus. It says that this man, Apollos, was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in spirit, and he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And verse 26, and this was how they did things. This is how they evangelized. This is how they began to impact people with the gospel. They would go to the local meeting places. And so the local meeting place there, obviously the religious center, was the synagogue. And he goes there and he begins to speak in verse 26 boldly. And so here you have a couple who are already there at Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla. They heard this and they heard him speaking. And so look what they do. It says that they took him unto them and expounded unto him, notice this, the way of God more perfectly. And this is interesting. Because here you have the missionary going to the mission field, but you have the mission field, the person who's already there, who's understanding the truth and understands the culture, begins to say, actually, Apollos, you're very gifted, you're very good, you're very eloquent, you know the word, but actually, let us sit you down and talk about what you're saying. Now notice it says, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass through Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, so he leaves there now, he helped them much which had believed through grace. Notice verse 28, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. I want to just take a quick moment here and make a connection with what this text is saying. On this third missionary journey of Paul's, God used people who were already in country, people who were understanding the culture, they were taught the things of God, they understood, and they get this guy, Apollos, and they say, listen, we want to teach you the way of God more effectively. Now, we understand, and time won't permit me to unearth this, but Apollos was confused on a doctrinal point at that time. But the greater lesson here was that he learned a lesson from people that were already in country. People that were already there, indigenous to the population of those that were there. And he did something that most of us don't want to do. He humbled himself. He said, okay, teach me. Show me. Explain to me. Let me hear a better way to be used of God to a greater degree. And here's what I want us to understand tonight. People in a foreign country don't need westernized, they need evangelized. They don't need westernized. That is not what they need. We have not been called to take the gospel and then try to westernize that. We've been called to take them and evangelize people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I used to think, to my shame and embarrassment, but I used to think that, more money would fix our missions problem. If we just had more money, if we just had more people giving, and if we would just get right with God and just give more money to missions, the mission problem, the gospel would get into every country. But you know what I've realized now? It is not a mission problem. It's a mentality issue. We who have so much, yes, it's true, we could give more, but sometimes our way of evangelizing has to be done our way or we think it's the wrong way. And Apollos is a great example of that. And so we understand our perspective as you go on a mission trip. Your perspective of things changes. How things work and how they do things. And just to our missions team tonight, you need to understand that there may be customs and things that they do there that are very foreign to you. Many times in traveling extensively through Romania and village to village, it would vary. There was just some things that they did that were just that's the way they did it. And sometimes in our American mindset, we think, well, that's dumb or that's stupid or that's not right. And I want to admonish you, if I can tonight, and lovingly say to you, remember you're the guest. Remember you're there to serve them. Can I hear an amen? Okay, you're there for that. Number five, you grow in your spiritual walk. You grow in your spiritual walk. One thing a missions trip does is it gets you out of your comfort zone. And it forces you to grow. You will grow together with your team. You will grow together as you serve there with other people. But you know what I have found? That when God wants to do a greater work in your life, He will often bring about things that make you very uncomfortable. How many of you know what I mean when I say that? God will do things to make you extraordinarily uncomfortable because He knows that if He does that, that forces you to rely on Him in ways you've never had to rely on Him before. That forces you to say, okay, God, this is way beyond anything I could have planned or I didn't think about this. And of course you didn't think about it. What are you, God? That's why you're praying to Him. That's why you're struggling, because God is saying, no, I want to make you uncomfortable because I want you to know the joy of resting in my grace. I want you to experience me doing something greater in you than you could ever do in you. I want you to be stretched. I want you to be in an uncomfortable place. I want you to be outside of your comfort zone so that I might use you to a greater degree. A missions trip will often give people a greater spiritual confidence and greater courage to serve Jesus than they ever had. And then, number six, you help fulfill the Great Commission. You actually help fulfill the Great Commission. Sadly, the Great Commission has almost become the Great Omission in many churches. The Great Omission. Did you guys know that the Great Commission is not a suggestion, that it's actually a command in the Bible? We're commanded to do this. And Christ has put a call on all of our lives to radically obey Him and carry out His plan of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This isn't for a select few. This isn't for the blue shirt wearers tonight, okay? Some of you see me in a blue shirt and you're wondering if I'm going. I'm not. I'm just here to support them, all right? Plus, I wanted a cool t-shirt. I want us to understand that carrying out the gospel and taking the gospel message means that we actually have to do something. And part of doing something means that sometimes we have to pack our bags and leave home for a little bit to make it a reality. Our team that is going, they're not going on some spiritual vacation or getaway. I promise you, missions is spelled W-O-R-K, all right? There's going to be a lot of work. Yeah, they're going to have some time to enjoy and to fellowship and to rest, but this is not a sightseeing trip, okay? They're not there as tourists. Now, they're going to see some things, for sure, but I promise you, their eyes are going to see some things that are going to change them forever. What we realize as a church is this. As we send a team, we're actually partnering with a missionary, and we're actually helping that missionary carry out and fulfill God's plan and purpose in the field that he is ministering in. We're actually coming alongside of that missionary and we're saying, listen, we're going to come here, we're going to leave where we are, and we're going to go to you. And we're going to come alongside you, and we're going to shoulder this load, and we're going to do all that we can to pour into the ministry while we're here. We are helping that missionary have greater impact and achieve with many of our folks what they could not achieve alone. And then lastly, you start to really get missions. And I'm going to shift gears now. It's true. It's true that many people will give to a missions program, but a lot of people don't get missions. They really don't. And I say this lovingly and not to irritate you, but some of you don't get missions. I know you don't. It took me years to really get it. It took me a long time before I finally like, okay, that's missions. I get it now. I get it. Missions tends to be something that we think other people do. You know, all those people in the hallway, we look at them and we're like, oh, they're missionaries. Right. You don't tend to think of yourself as a missionary, though. We don't tend to get up in the morning and go, hey, I'm a missionary today. We tend to not view ourselves like that. And the reality is, aren't you glad that you are a missionary and not the mission field? Think about that. Be thankful that tonight you are the missionary, but you're not the mission field. You used to be the mission field. Your family at one point who was on church, you used to be the mission field, but the moment you get saved, you become the missionary. You turn into the one. I've often thought about getting a huge sign put up that says you are now, as we leave the church, you are now entering the mission field. So you think by coming to church, you're doing mission work. Coming to church is not mission work. We tend to look at missions as something that other people do, while it tends to be something that we just give our money to. We're like, well, I'm involved in missions. I give my money to missions. You're supporting missions. That's great, and you should. The reality is, we are all called to be missionaries. Some of us just have to realize that God may want us to go to a foreign field to fulfill that, and for some of us, it may just be that God wants us to reach our neighbor. You see, here's the reality. Jesus didn't say, pledge your money. He said, commit yourself. Commit yourself. Missions is more than a financial investment for eternity. It's personal participation in the present. It's personal participation in the present. If I said to you, hey, let's go, what would you think? Don't all answer at once. Okay, where are we going? That's good. What else? I'm going. Good. You don't know where we're going. Where are we going, right? How long? Somebody asked a question. Come on, ask it. Why? No, that's not the one I was looking for. I know this is guess what pastor's thinking. How much, right? Because for some of us, that's what it comes down to, isn't it? How much? We look at our missions card. In October, we'll be having our missions month. In fact, this year, we're actually having a full-blown missions conference. We're going to go from Monday to Wednesday, and then the following week, we're having a big outreach day called Family Friend Day. I talked to the church about this. I'll be telling us more about it. But we tend to think, okay, how much is this going to cost me? How much will this hit me in the wallet for if I have to go? Jesus said, go. Going implies what? Movement. You're sitting on the couch and we say, go. You're like, man, I've gone in my mind, but I ain't moved anywhere, right? You tell your children, go clean your room. And you come back 30 minutes later and they're like, in my mind, my room is sparkly, man. You didn't do anything. You're still sitting here. You haven't gone anywhere. You haven't achieved anything. But in my mind, I went. In my mind, I pledged. In my mind, I committed. Jesus said, go. Go. You go. To go means, if you're taking notes, you should write this down. To go means leave from where you are. Leave. So we think about the church as a place where everybody wants to come. Right? Everybody wants to come. Jesus is telling the church, that's fine for you to come, but you also need to what? Go. See, most of us on church, when church is over on Sunday, we're not thinking, who are we going to go reach? We're thinking, where am I going to go eat? What am I going to eat? Jesus, after that worship service and then after the commissioning, he said, now go. He didn't say go eat. He didn't say, you know, go get coffee. Go out. He said, go. And go where? Into all the world. Go into all the world. Missions tends to be something that we think is finished. We think, well, we got missionaries. I mean, we're writing checks. We're sending out money. We're supporting programs. We're raising money for VBS. I mean, how many of you know that missions is not going to be done till Jesus comes again? The work's not finished. The work's not done. And by the way, don't think that you can write a check and ask somebody else to do the work that you yourself are unwilling to do. God's not going to look at you and say, hey, I'm so glad you got involved in missions. Way to put that check in the plate every month. Uh-uh. No, he's going to ask you, who did you go to? Who did you reach out to? Who did you share the gospel with? You see, missions is more than a yearly pledge you make. It has to become personal involvement. It's not just, you know, when October rolls around, well, let's up it $5 or $10 or $50 or $100. Right? It's more than that. A missions trip exposes you to the raw reality of mission work in a foreign field. And it helps you understand in a very intricate way what a missionary deals with on a day-to-day basis. It helps you become one with that missionary. Helps you have an understanding of what they're dealing with and what they're up against. And it makes you more effective in praying for those missionaries. And so sometimes it takes a missions trip to help you really get missions. Because sometimes as we talk about missionaries and we talk about missions and we have mission updates on Wednesday nights and we have mission highlights in the bulletin and we have missionary pictures on the wall, a lot of us just blow right past it and we don't think anything about it. And a missions trip changes and revolutionizes the whole way you actually see missions. Our people who are leaving from our church for Romania on Friday, let me just say this, and not to be mean, that it's not my heart at all, but they're not some special group of spiritual people, okay? I love them dearly. I've been praying for them. They're not super spiritual heroes who are going to step in and save the day for Gerald and his camp in Romania, okay? They're not going to arrive on the scene and say, the Faith Baptist crew is here. You know, that's not going to happen. Did you know that Gerald was having a camp long before FBC ever got involved? And did you know that next year when we're not going to Romania and we're going somewhere else, did you know what's going to happen there in Romania? Gerald's going to continue to have his camp and reach children. Okay, we're not flying in to save the day and rescue Gerald and his team. That's not what we're doing. They are, however, a group of people who have stepped out by faith. Micah alluded to this in the worship time. You should hear the stories of how God has provided for many of our people who are going. You should listen to the stories. I mean, some of them have texted me, some of them have talked to me. And I'm not talking, you know, a couple $100. I'm talking multiple hundreds of dollars. They had no idea how it was going to come in. They said, Lord, we're just going to commit to go. And bang, God started to provide. Some of the money coming in, even from, here's what's awesome, even from lost people. Isn't that awesome that God would use lost people to get the gospel out? Some of you don't get excited about that, but I do. I think it's awesome that God uses Satan's people to get the gospel to go reach Satan's people. I think that's just awesome. Isn't that great? Yeah, you can clap to that. That's awesome. I think that's exciting to me. They are people who have said, I will get outside of my comfort zone. I will go eat weird food. And you will. I will get to know people that I've never met. I will sleep rough. I will fly for more hours than I should fly. I will do this because I believe that it is important for me to grow in my faith and to make the gospel a reality for me. Because, you know, sometimes here in America, we tend to think, you don't have to admit it, but most of us should just nod our head. We just tend to think everybody around us is going to heaven. Just, you know, we just tend to think, oh yeah, they're probably a Christian, they're probably a Christian, they're probably a Christian. We think we have to go to a foreign field to realize that people aren't saved, when the truth is the mission field's right here as well. Amen? Now, sometimes going to the foreign field, though, here's what it does. Here's what it did for me. It made me wake up to the fact that I can't just think because I go to a foreign field I'm doing mission work. I need to do mission work here as well. And so our folks who are going, our team that is leaving, they are people who are saying, you know what, Lord, I want to fulfill the Great Commission in a fresh way. I want to fulfill the Great Commission and follow you and go to every tongue, every tribe, every nation. They are people who are not only representing Jesus Christ, but here's what I think is great. And I love the fact that they're going to go and they're going to say, we love Jesus and we're going to bring the gospel. And I love the fact that they're also representing all of us here in this room. Don't you think that's amazing? And I think it's great that they're going to go, and when they get there, they're going to show all of those dear, precious children and all of the different people that are there. They're saying, hey, listen, this is how Faith Baptist Church believes in missions. We want to represent our church back home in Newport Richey. And most of those kids have no idea where that's at. But they're going to see a face, and they're going to see a person, and they're going to see someone who says, hey, this is real to me. They're saying to Gerald and his team and to all of those children that there's a church in Florida that stands with you. And here's the deal. We want to send more than money. We want to send ourselves. I've often thought about the fact that God could have done a lot of things to save us. I mean, he's God, right? He can do what he wants. But he didn't send a check. He sent his son. And I think about that all the time when I think about missions, because the gospel's personal to the Lord. Why? Because it cost him everything. He sent his son. He sent a part of himself. And when you guys get on that plane on Friday, you better know this, okay? I'm not with you, but you're taking a part of me with you. And you're taking a part of everyone in this church with you as you get on that plane and as you leave and as you touch down. You remember in the back of your mind, I'm not only taking Jesus, I'm taking part of the family of faith. It's personal. It's personal to us. We're not just saying, here's a support check every month, Gerald. Here's a love offering. We're saying, no, I'm sending some of my best people to you. I'm sending our associate pastor. I'm sending some of the best team leaders and workers we have in this church for two Sundays. I'm giving them to you. For two Sundays, Micah. I told him to just go for one. It's personal. It's personal. This group has been given a lot of financial support, but what they need in addition to that, and more importantly than that, is spiritual support through prayer. And so tonight, just like we saw in our text as we opened up, I want to ask us all to stand together at this time. If Jerry would come and... Now, what we're going to do is this. Those of you that are leaving on Friday, those of you in the blue shirts, and if you didn't wear your blue shirt, that's okay, but if you are on the mission team that is leaving Friday, if you would come down here to the front. And starting on this end, if you would just introduce yourself. I'm sure most people know you, but that's fine. Just introduce yourself. Tell the church who you are. And then we're going to do that all the way till we get down here. So go ahead.
Barry, been watching.
Craig Corey.
Cindy Corey.
Joel Good.
Michael Warren.
Shauna Henthorn.
Jesse Walters.
Jeff Burrow.
These are your missionaries that are leaving on Friday. Would you bow at this time? And before I pray, I want to give you a couple of things to think about. to be praying for this team. I want you to ask the Lord tonight as you intercede on their behalf that God would give them spiritual strength, that God would give them grace and patience with each other and with those that they're working with, that God would bless them with health, protection, that there would be a spirit of unity as they serve together, that souls would be saved, that lives would be changed, that they would be an encouragement to Brother Gerald and all of those young children that they come into contact with. And then I want you to pray this one last thing, and I'll give you just a minute to do so. Pray that the fire that they come back with will stay burning hot within them for more than a week and more than a month, but that they'll stay on fire. Something is going to happen to all of them while they're there. There's not a doubt in my mind. God will ignite something inside of their soul. And pray that that stays burning bright and that they bring that passion back here to our church. And then for those of you that are already ready to go, but you're not getting to go, just ask God to set your heart on fire so that when that opportunity comes around next year, you'll say, I'm going. I'm going. Father, we are just so grateful tonight that we have been afforded the opportunity to send these, our family, our servants, to go be used of you in a foreign field, to go bring encouragement to a missionary and his family, to go impact the lives of the future generation of a country that so desperately needs you. Lord, it is with great excitement and joy, and Lord, it is also with a touch of sadness that we send them out tonight. Some of us longing to go on a trip like this, some of us yearning, some of these dear folk who are leaving thinking they may have never even gotten an opportunity, and here they are getting ready to leave. Only you could have made that happen for many of these folks. Lord, their stories are amazing, how you've put all of this together for them. And we stand humbled and in awe tonight that you would use us in this capacity. And so, Father, we pray as we gather together as a family, as we embrace our team, as they leave the shores of this country, and as they leave the doors of this church, that, Father, you would put, Lord, protection over their minds, over their hearts. Lord, that you would physically protect them, that they would have safe passage, that all of their luggage and everything would arrive without any complications or issues. You'd keep them, Lord, not only physically healthy and strong, but spiritually. I know, Lord, do I ever know how you're going to work in their life. Lord, they will come back changed. And I pray that the fire that you will place in their heart, the desire, the work that you're longing to do. Sometimes, Lord, it's so apparent to us in Scripture, sometimes you got to pull us out of where we are so that we can hear you speak differently, so that maybe we can hear you speak clearly. And so I pray for these, my brothers and sisters, as they go, that, Lord, they'll be a blessing to Gerald, that the spirit that will be amongst them as they serve together would be strong, that they would be unified, that you'd help them to love each other, and in loving each other, love those that they're serving. Lord, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be some things that are not going to go as planned. There's going to be some curveballs. There's going to be some things that were unforeseen. Lord, help them to grow through that, to rise above that, and Lord, to trust you as they work those things out. For those who are leading different groups and are taking teams out and ministering in various places, Lord, just open up opportunities for them to be able to connect. Lord, the language barrier sometimes is so hard, and yet in other ways, it's such a wonderful thing to see a God of many tongues, Lord, as we go over and we see other people from other nations, how, Lord, the language barrier, it's not a barrier for you. And so, Father, we pray over them tonight. And lastly, Lord, we pray that you'll bring them back to us safely. We're going to miss them. We'll We'll be thinking of them, Lord, often and praying for them fervently and frequently. For the ministries here that will go on without them, Lord, we pray for those who are stepping up to fill in those roles. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. And Lord, tonight, we give you praise. I'm so grateful, Lord, that we are the missionaries and not the mission field tonight. That we are sending out this team, and what a privilege it is. So, Lord, tonight, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. Thank you so much, Lord, for this group who are saying, I'll go. Use them in a mighty way, we pray. For it's in the name of Christ Jesus we say these things, and all of God's people together.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.